Okay. Hey, Google, what's today's date?
It's Saturday, April 27th, 2024.
Hey, Google, what time is it?
It's 9 a.m.
Okay. So, I wasn't even going to do the podcast, but I'm live. And but I'm going to say what happened to me or document in real time what's happened. But I wanted to start off with something positive, I think. Jip, okay, let me send my dog out. He's, every time I just start my podcast, he starts scratching. So hold on. Okay, so I wanted to start with something positive. So this morning I was listening to Kerry Washington's book, Thicker Than Water. And I don't know, Kerry, I like you. I think you're very intelligent. There was a certain part of your book, I'm only in the beginning, like I'm in like chapter 5 or 6, where you said that you realized at a young age that acting is very vital or important and can be used for social activism, and how you try to use your roles that you play and the stories that you tell for that purpose. And it was just nice hearing that from an actress, to know that that there's true intent and motive behind the work that you do. And I mean, you talk about a whole lot of other things in your book, but I'm not going to tell your story. I don't have to read your book or listen to your book. But your book so far is very authentic and brilliant and raw and honest and eloquent. The way you express or tell your story is eloquent, in my opinion. I had did a podcast a long time ago, not really that long ago, about your movie, The School of Good and Evil, where I felt like the beginning of your film was an emulation of my book about the psychology of feeling in the era of AI. What's the matter? The psychology of feeling in the era of AI. When I talk about the House of Fire, and in the House of Fire, there is the Butcher and the Libertarian. I felt like it was a gestalt, artistic way of showing what my intent was with the way that I described how biotech, AI, is, and will be used in our future. That at the same time, while you have people using it to do good things, you'll have people on the other end using that same technology to do bad things. And I am witness to that based on what happens to me with this biotech in my body. I know all the different ways that it can be used to help, aid, assist, or to subjugate, suppress, depress, and destroy, and subject, and oppress. So it's like, and the way that the biotech is used very much reflects the mentality and the intellect and the heart of the person that is utilizing it. And the part that makes it most dangerous is that other people get to affect other people's bodies based on their own mentality, their own level of intellect or ignorance thereof, on their own biases of, you know, or racism or hatred or jealousy or, you know, those are negative. But you can also use it to save lives, to help people, to, like I said, there's two sides to the coin when it comes to this biotech and how it can be used. And the whole thing is the biotech, even though my manuscript is focused on the biotechnology, I've learned a lot about this biotech that is in my body and how it affects, like I said, it doesn't just affect the body, but it affects the environment. So the power of this biotech isn't just internal, it also is external, and it affects your environment. I was a little distracted. My phone, let me make sure it's still recording. Hold on. Let me make sure it's still recording. It is. Okay. So, and I feel like even just now how this recording is 7 minutes and 12 seconds long, I'm always concerned when certain things happen that is meant to take a pause in what I'm saying, because, you know, maybe for someone to like edit it later. So this recording already is 7 minutes long because I actually posted something publicly and then I went back to listen to it on a different system, like a different device, and I realized that it didn't play the first 4 minutes, which I've already talked about that. And I didn't really care. I was just like, okay, I'll just post it on my subscriber podcast. It doesn't really matter because, you know, when I post, I can post it for free listeners or I can post it, you know, for subscriber only. And I did a live. So I had posted it for a lot, like it was free listen. I didn't even do it under subscriber, but it didn't play out. I guess I'm assuming it didn't because I was on a different device and I wasn't logged in, and I went to my own website to play it and it didn't play. It only played the first 4 minutes. So then I then re-added it to my subscriber podcast. But that was concerning to me. The point that I'm trying to make is that it should have played the entire recording because I did it live and then I published it. So that just tells me that there's something going on. There's something that I didn't do going on in the background, just like how now I was just doing my recording and then I had to stop because my phone suddenly went to a different app. It opened up a different app. And it interrupted the flow of my podcast, which is kind of to me like an intermission where someone might try to take just the first part of what you say, break it up, and then play the next part and not all of it together. But moving on to my next point. So yesterday I went to Walmart and I had to go to customer service, and yesterday's date obviously was April 26th, Friday, 2024, just in case this recording gets broken up. And the ladies in customer service, they were all very nice. Like, I have no complaints. Nothing bad to say. And it's going to make me tell this story. I probably already told, like, I've told this story many times in my recordings. I actually told it in my manuscript. I may have even put it on my podcast because I have like 105. I think I have like 105 podcasts that are out there that I put out there over the years where I tell certain stories in real time about things that have happened to me. But I've still told this story many times in my recordings because it's happened many times. And so like what happened to me yesterday and what happened to me just now is going to make me tell this story again. So the lady that at the Walmart were all nice, no complaints. You know, it made me actually sit there and contemplate because I'm so strapped for cash. Money is just so tight. I hardly have any money and I have this biotech in my body. And those women were like my peers. You know, they look like moms. They look like me. And they were all nice. Felt like community. Actually, one of the girls I feel like she might live at the end of the block. I didn't ask her, but she looks like the lady that lives up the street, but I'm not sure. But they were all nice is the point that I'm trying to make. So what I'm about to say next is like, what does nice have to do with it, right? So they were nice and we were getting through the transactions. And then all of a sudden I get severely burned. Like times infinity on the side of my head while I'm interacting with them. And I never show any signs that I was hurt. I never show any signs that I was burned. It often happens when I'm in conversation with people where I suddenly will get like attacked, like burned, like you're putting your hand on a skillet, that type of burn. Through habituation, which is a term I talk a lot about in my manuscript, I've become desensitized in a way where I don't reflect or respond to that type of burning. Even one time, I went to the McDonald's in Lower Borough and the guy handed me a hot cup of coffee and the lid fell off and all the coffee spilled all over my hand. I never dropped the cup. I held the cup. He apologized. I didn't reflex. I didn't scream because that is the like type of burning that happens to me. Even when I cut my finger open because I was trying to cut down the weeds and it had like the safety guard on it. And it's supposed to stop when you aren't pressing the safety guard. So like it's like one of those buzz saws that cuts down like, you know, branches and trees. So you have to push on the safety button for it to spin. And then when you release the safety button, it stops spinning. I released the safety button and it continued to spin and it cut my finger open. I never screamed. I never yelled. I blood went everywhere. I immediately knew what I had to do to get myself together. And I didn't have any reaction. I actually react more to things that don't hurt me than I do to things that actually really hurt me. It's weird. Make it make sense. Like, you know, it's weird. Like if my puppy runs off, you'll hear me yell, "Oh no," you know, so something like that. But the things that actually hurt, really physically hurt me, I don't really respond to it at all. It's weird. It's a phenomenon to me. I just feel like it's possible that I've been desensitized by the amount of horrific, violent pain that is inflicted on me all the time. I've always said like pain is my boyfriend. You sent pain to destroy me. Pain taught me and now it ricochets. And that's how it feels. It feels like pain was meant to destroy me, but it's like I've felt it so much. It's like I don't respond. But I feel like also that helps me because if I was to respond, if I was to have a bad reaction, no one knows that I'm being hurt. No one can see what's happening to me. All they can see on camera and in my presence is my reaction. So I'm automatically in a defeated situation because no one can see that I'm being hurt. So I feel like the fact that I've become desensitized through habituation, that I don't really react and respond, means that once I've always said that whoever's hurting me has little to no power without my response. The power that whoever's doing this to me has only is created with my response. So without my response, it's powerless. I'm the one that gives it the power. I'm the one that sires you. I'm the one that hands you the crown. And I feel like it's my response that has the power, not what someone is doing to me. However, it is powerful in a way because even though I don't immediately respond, I respond systematically in a way that it causes more damage later than it does now. Meaning, I had an interview. I interviewed at Aflac, like out here. I had two interviews. One was with Howard Hanna and one was with Aflac. Now, I used to work for Aflac in New Jersey. And I made Fast Start. You know, I've done business to business sales. I work for MetLife. I used to have my Series 6 and my Series 63. I passed those tests the first time. I went to Kaplan in Newark, New Jersey to study for my Series 63. I self-studied for my Series 6 and I passed them both under camera the first time I took them. I worked for MetLife for years. I used to work for a bunch of different brokers doing open enrollments. I actually like that job, like, you know, because it's kind of like you get paid for the day. You sometimes they'll put you in a hotel if it's off, you know, on site somewhere else. You're contracted. You're 1099. They're really not your boss. They just want you to sell products. It's soft sales because it's for employees. So these are benefits that they need, that they're asking you for. So you're not really selling them to them. You're kind of educating them and explaining to them how they work. And they pretty much sign up because it's pre-tax dollars. So it's soft sales. So I used to do that for years. And I used to also substitute teach on times that I wasn't on assignment. So working for Aflac isn't a big deal to me. I'm not afraid to talk to people. I've done my own test marketing, even with my own products that I have. I design access databases. Like, none of that is all easy for me. I love it. I don't get afraid. I'm an opener and I'm a closer. That's just who I am. Once I understand the product and how it works, I can open and I can close it. But when I was at Aflac and I had this interview with this guy, he asked me to shut the door, and I shut the door behind me. No big deal. I don't even want to say that like that was a big deal. That's not a big deal. But what was a big deal was as I sat down to talk to him and he started asking me questions about, you know, my sales background, my experience. You know, I told him that I used to work for Aflac, that I made Fast Start, that I got an award, that I've done business to business sales. The same stuff that I just said. And then he asked me, about like my personal life, like what my hobbies were, what I like to do. And I told him that I design products, that I blog, you know, all those kind of things. And we talked about my products. I actually sold two of my smart stand-ups to his secretary outside in the foyer. So she bought two of them. One, I think, was like a Tinkerbell smart stand-up or whatever. But the point is, all of that is fine and dandy, you know, like talking to him, telling him who I was, you know, was fine. But the whole time that I was talking to him, I was getting burned to smithereens at the top of my head. I was getting hurt so bad. And I never showed any response, reaction to what was happening to me. However, when I left, when I left his office, I knew I did a good job because that's really who I am. Like, this, I'm none of this, all this stuff is stuff that I've done, that I've accomplished, that, you know, I could get references on. It's all true. I don't have to make any of this up. So I knew I did a good job in the interview, but I also felt like I had been to war on a battlefield and someone had threw hot fire on me. And when I left and I sold the lady my two of my smart stand-ups, I got in the car and I cried because it hurt so bad. And I was just like, I don't know how I'm supposed to deal with this. I could deal with it. And I feel like it was like, even though I'm like tearing up a little bit, I dealt with it. I can deal with it. I dealt with it. But do I want to deal with it? I don't want to deal with it. Like I feel like I'm a super bitch. Like, excuse my language. I don't mean it. Like, I'm like that bitch. Like, I'm stubborn because I felt like someone was really trying to get me to do something crazy or bad. And they were trying to be slick and sneaky about it. And they were hoping that, you know, and I was like, I'm not going to be on CNN today for some kind of terroristic act. Like, I'm not, that's just not who I am. My mother raised me better than that. But I just felt like whoever was doing that to me while I was in the interview talking to the guy was really evil and hateful. And this was back in like 2016, 2017 when this happened to me. Like, I did recordings about this. Like all these things that I'm talking about now, I did recordings about this. So I'm this is just straight from my memory. So you can match up my words that I'm doing now in a live recording real time. And you can go back to the dates where I had my interview with Aflac, because I had two of them. I had one inside their office. That was the one where I was burnt to smithereens. And then I had another one at the Panera Bread in Oakmont. Right. Then at one point I had an interview with Howard Hanna here in New Kensington. And actually, a couple of other ladies at a different time bought my smart stand-ups. Like, three of the women in the New Kensington Howard Hanna bought my smart stand-ups a long time ago in its early stages. Like, because I was test marketing it by just visiting local businesses, selling my smart stand-up in the early stages before, I think it was during the time that my patent was pending. Like, now I have a patent and you'll see me use my smart stand-up everywhere. I use it all the time when I go to Popeyes. I even had one of the times I was there, I was sitting in the middle table. I had my tablet standing vertical in my smart stand-up the whole time I was eating. I usually had my phone in my smart stand-up. But I, at that time, back in 2017, 2016, 2018, I was test marketing my smart stand-up. And I have a database that has all the businesses that I went to test market my smart stand-up and all the people that bought it when it was in its early stages. But anywho, I had an interview with Howard Hanna, and even that interview went well because I had my real estate licenses. I worked for several brokers. I worked for brokers in South Philly. I worked for brokers in West Philly. I used to own like several rental properties. I used to be a mortgage broker. They're like people that are like professionals, brokers, lawyers. I've sold homes to lawyers. I've sold a home to a judge. I did mortgages for doctors. Like, these people are like professionals, judges, lawyers, and doctors. That's who I used to work with. That's who I sold real estate to and for and did mortgages for. And these people are all still alive. And I did this. This is who I used to be before Dr. Fred Price snuck this biotech in my body. But during my interview, which once again, I did well because this is really who I am. This is who I used to be. This is, you know, like, I don't have the fear factor. I'm a true professional when I need to be. But during the entire interview, I was getting burned to fucking smithereens. And I talked through it. I never changed my flow and how I presented myself. I never, you know, stopped, you know, talking about whatever was relevant to the questions that I was being asked. But I was in a lot of pain. And someone was really trying to hurt me. And the more I answered the questions and talked, the more I was physically hurt. And I thought that it was very evil. I thought that it was very sneaky. I felt like someone was trying to puppet me and turn me into a human drone. I felt I didn't understand. It was like an outer body experience, because I really felt like I was walking through a fire hose all over my body, and really at the top of my head. It felt like a fire hose, and it was torture. It was evil, hateful, ratchet torture that I just endured. And, you know, she was ready to hire me. And then I sent her an email telling her that I couldn't work for her because of what happened to me. And I don't know if she'll ever admit that I sent her that email, but I told her that I was getting burned during my interview with her. I did it because I felt like I wanted to document the moment and the time, because I felt like I'm privy. I feel like I know what this feels like. I know how someone is using it. And I know that it's going to end up killing a lot of people if it's not put in check. I know how evil some of the end users that have access to my body are. I know how sneaky and deceptive they are. Except I am human. I have a heart, a mind, and a soul. And I know better, and I can think for myself. And they have no power without my response. So I felt like, okay, I'm going to email her and tell her exactly what happened to me during the interview, and tell her that I cannot work for her because of that, even though I kind of wanted to. But I felt like I'm really at a disadvantage here with someone constantly trying to use these moments of vulnerability to make hurt me, like hurt people, right? And I feel like that was whoever was doing that to me was trying to hurt me bad enough so that I would do something bad. And I didn't want to do anything bad. And I felt like whoever was hurting me was the bad person. But I look like I'm crazy because no one can see me getting hurt. And then it's kind of like they're not really sure if I'm telling the truth or not. You know, like maybe she's just fucking crazy, you know? And so the burden and the expense is always on me. Meaning I'm going to pay a penalty for whatever my actions are, regardless of the fact that I'm getting hurt or not. I have to prove that I'm getting hurt. I have to prove that I'm really feeling fire over top of my head, that someone is deliberately using the biotech to burn me, to twist my ligaments, to pen stab me. No one really knows that if I'm telling the truth or not. The burden and the expense of this biotech is fully and clearly on me. And the person that's going to pay the price if I do something, you know, that is wrong or illegal or or harmful is me, regardless of the fact that someone is deliberately using the biotech to hurt me. So, these are stories that I've, like I said, that I've told many times in my audio recordings that I probably didn't post these, but I may, like I said, I have 105 that are posted. But I have over 2,000 audio recordings in real time on the dates or around the dates that these incidents occurred, where I document exactly what happened to me. So what made me do the recording today is I was sitting there listening to Kerry Washington's book, which is excellent, Thicker Than Water. I feel like, you know, you won't be disappointed if you're looking for something to listen to, if you're looking for something to read. If her book is good. I'm only on chapter 5 or 6. But while I was listening to it, I had got up and I was like walking around with my earbuds in my ear. And then all of a sudden, I got punched, squeezed, dinged on my left temple. Like, it was deliberate. And I was just like, okay. You know, I'm in my room. That's why I'm saying, like, someone tries to turn my bedroom into a torture chamber. And someone deliberately did that to me on purpose. And it was a totally different sensation than what happened to me when I was at the Walmart talking to the ladies, where I got burned. Now, this is what I want to say about this, because once again, whoever's doing this to me is trying to control the narrative. So I'm going to snatch the narrative back from them and say that you don't have any power without my response. And the most important thing is not that you burned me or that you punched my temple. In my opinion, the most important thing is that I could feel it. Now, how you choose to use what I can feel, what you choose to communicate what I feel, has a lot to do with the mentality and the character of the individual that is utilizing the technology. Meaning, I've said that this biotech and the sensations that it causes under the human body are like the keys and strings on a piano. There are several variations in feeling. There are several levels of intensity, and also location and where you are targeted. It's a language and it communicates. And I know people will like smack their head and be like, here she goes again. Here she goes again. You don't get it. You don't get it. No, what I get is that you created something that someone is trying to use to take us backwards. What I get is that you created something where someone wants to power trip, power play, and repeat history with it instead of using it to take us forward. That's my narrative. My narrative is that I can feel it. My narrative is that not everything that happens to me with this biotech hurts. My problem is that why is someone able to use it in a way that hurts? Why is someone able to use it in a way where you can't track and trace their digital footprint and how they're using it? My problem is, why would you create something that would allow someone the capabilities of using it in a harmful way like this without any accountability? So that's why I say the smart people who know, the surgeons, the coders, the designers, the architects, y'all are not that smart, because you have created such a powerful weapon that dummies, ignorant assholes are trying to use to repeat history and take us backwards. And you don't have control or a handle on your own design and technology that you put in my body. So I don't think that y'all are that fucking smart. I think that we have some problems here. And the whole reason why I document is because I'm privy for accountability. And I'm not afraid of the biotech. I'm not even afraid of the morons that continuously misuse and abuse it. But I don't see it not being used. I see it being used. Like I said, I feel like this biotech and electromagnetic waves, the electromagnetic spectrum, I feel like the discoveries that have already come from the electromagnetic spectrum and from electromagnetic waves and their capabilities isn't just going to be a U.S. problem. It's going to be a U.N. problem. That I'm on U.S. soil, land of the free, home of the brave, and I'm supposedly in not a third world country, but the number one country in the world. And you have people trying to use it to take us backwards and make us bend the knee, make me bend the knee. So what does that tell me? That tells me that if this is allowed to happen in America, then what is going to happen to women and children and humans all over the world in countries where oppression is the status quo? That you need to be able to track and trace the digital footprint of what you've created, because if you don't, it's going to kill a lot of people. And I can't just emphasize that more. I'm like a broken record. I don't feel like I need to run away from it. I feel like I need to detail how you're using it. I need to show you the incognito. And if this is done to someone and you don't know about it during a surgery and you don't believe them, there's nowhere for them to go. It's kind of like when a woman goes and reports that she's been hurt or she's been vandalized or she's been raped or something, and you just turn them away. If you keep pretending that this biotech doesn't exist and you try to make people who have this biotech in their body feel like they're crazy, you're going to end up killing a lot of people because they're going to have nowhere to go and no one to tell, and they're going to be getting hurt, and someone's going to be misusing it on them, and they're going to hurt other people, and you're not going to even know what happened. You're not going to know what happened because you keep trying to pretend like it doesn't exist. You keep not wanting to report on it. And it's like the pee under the mattress. It's literally within a split second. Like, so I had a choice. Do I respond or do I react to what someone maliciously did to me? No, I'm better than that. I'm a better human than that. I know better. And plus, Pain is my boyfriend. Pain is my friend at this point. Like, you don't, it doesn't do what whoever is intending to do, what you're trying to do. And I'm glad. I feel like, I don't want to be arrogant. I feel like it's kind of bad to say, but I feel like it's God's grace and mercy that I don't react and respond to it the way that I probably naturally should. But I feel like it won't bring me anything positive by reacting to it. It won't make my life better by reacting to it. Actually, it'll give the person who's doing this to me more satisfaction and power that I reacted to it, that I responded to it. And then I also completed what I wanted to complete. I finished my task exactly the way that I intended. So it didn't put any ripple effects in what I was doing because I didn't allow it to. But I don't want to have to go through that every day. Like, it's exhausting. Like, I'm in a lot of pain. It's exhausting. So that's why I'm like, I'm up for the challenge if I had to, but I wouldn't deliberately put myself in a situation where I'm constantly walking through a fire hose. And that's what it feels like. Like, someone's, and I always feel like it's a strong arm tactic for you to get back the biotech out of my body. But I always say that I can't give you back something that I didn't take, and you can't remove something that you won't admit is there. And I also think that it has no value to whoever wants it outside of my body. I feel like I'm the whole puzzle put together. You really don't want the biotech back. What you want is my body with the biotech. So that is my conclusion. That's my period. Like, that's what you really want. It has no value out of my body. It's the whole package. It's the whole compilation and the placement of where this biotech is in my body and how I'm radioactive from the tips of my toenails to the fibers in my hair that has the value. It has no value outside of my body. It doesn't work or function outside of my body. That's not what you want. You want my body. So, yesterday I was sitting at my table and my right toe just got burned and shocked out of nowhere. So my right toe was burned and shocked out of nowhere. I didn't flinch. I didn't jump. I didn't reflex. I didn't react. I simply just said, it felt like someone was testing it, like in real time to see because I didn't say anything at first when it first happened. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. But then it happened again and it was like, it felt like someone turned it up. Like, so that felt like a test. Like someone was testing my words when I say that I'm radioactive from the tips of my toenails to the fibers in my hair, because you did it on the tip of my big toe. And then I didn't say anything. I had no response. So then you did it again, much harder. And then I finally said something. And then I said something out loud. And then it just stopped. So to me, that felt like someone was testing it to see if I was telling the truth. And like I've always said, I am always telling the truth. Everybody else is lying. So all the people that you think are honest and true and forthcoming, they are lying. I am the one telling the truth. I've always been telling the truth about everything. Always. I don't really have any reasons to lie. So I just don't understand after how this being done to me and it not being legal and unconstitutional, and more so how it's been used on me in a country where we are supposed to be equal and we're supposed to have human civil rights, and this would be considered medical malpractice. How, when I call police, attorneys, file complaints, everyone just turns a blind eye and tries to pretend like I'm crazy when I know that I'm not, and I know that I'm telling the truth. Why my government allows my kids and I to live like this with hardly no money in a house that's dilapidated, that needs complete and total rehab, which costs money. I'm telling you the stories about when I've applied for jobs. I've applied these jobs I had applied for with the biotech in my body. So I've tried. I even have a story about when I was temping. What happened to me? I tried to temp because I used to be, it was like, I type 90 words a minute. I can build access databases. Like, you know, I got a 96 on a fucking state exam. Like, I'm no dummy, but I get attacked. Someone is attacking me when I'm doing these things. And you still let me and my kids live impoverished. It is, to me, evil and hateful. And I'm like, well, maybe it's not evil and hateful. Maybe they're just ignorant. Maybe they really don't know what someone is doing to you. And I'm like, how could they not know? Someone's been hacking my recordings for years. My words are all, and showing up in all these films. My words verbatim was in Phoenix. When Charles asked her, when he wanted to have her come into his school, Phoenix, he said, this is a pen, right? Because I used to do this example about the biotech. And I said, the biotech is like a knife. You can use it to hurt someone or you can use it to carve a beautiful statue. He used this same metaphoric analysis, metaphoric example, same simile, whatever you want to call it. He used that same example when he asked Phoenix to come as a child to his school so he could teach her how to use her powers effectively, because she was always on fire and it hurt her and she could not control her powers. And he wanted to teach her what her powers were and all the different ways it could be used. And he used the same example that I used in my 2015 and 2016 recordings, that I used repeatedly in most of my recordings when I talked about how this biotech could be used. That is two sides of a coin. That it can, you can be the first one to know in the room to tell everyone to get out before it blows up, or you could be the first one to leave the room and let everyone get blown up. Two sides of a coin. We have a choice and a decision as to how we want to use it. You don't have to use it to rape women and burn and torture and make people bend the knee and harass and subjugate and oppress and try to power trip and power play. You don't have to use it that way. But that the using it that way reflects the mentality of the end user. Their ignorance, their bias, how they see you. Do they even see me as being human? Do they even care about my feelings? Clearly not. Whoever's doing this to me doesn't give a fuck about how I feel, because they're using it on me in a way that is careless. They're using it on me in a way that is frivolous. They're using it on me in a way that could cause more harm than help. And they're able to do it because there's no accountability for the people who created and designed this. You should be in jail. DC needs to drag y'all asses to that table. And y'all should be in jail and stripped of your mansions, your income until you fucking figure out how to track the digital footprint of your own creation and design that you snuck in my body. You need to know. You should not have been allowed to sneak this shit in my body, and you don't fucking know who's hurting me in public areas and doing these things to me. I question, can anyone have access to it? Like, this is a problem. So I feel like I'm not running away from it. I'm not. I feel like it's faulty. Your creation and design as Austin said yesterday, they had a clip of Austin on the news, is not your product, does not function as advertised. That is the end of my recording.